Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. Now, in this particular proverb, we are, as we have with so many proverbs, seeing some very practical advice and also some spiritual advice that Solomon has given to us and that God has recorded in the words of God to guide us in our lives. All right, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says this: the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, in a subsequent message later on in the week, we're going to deal with the rich ruling over the poor and oppressing the poor. And so we'll have something else to say about that. So we're really going to deal with the second half of this proverb, which says the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, this is a proverb that you never want to forget. Because when you go into debt, you put yourself in bondage. And God never intended any of us to be in debt. God never intended for any of us to be in debt. Now, conditions in the world have inflated to the point that if you're going to buy a house in certain parts of the country or build a church in certain parts of the country, you'll be blessed just to have enough money for the down payment. Much more the ability to pay cash for the thing. Because everything is run on debt today. The government owes $8.6 trillion. And I mean, in just a month, that number is going to be another, I don't know, it'll be up to $8.7 trillion. I mean, it's just astronomical how fast it grows. The money supply is no longer reported by the Fed, so you have no idea how much money is being added to the system by the Fed. So everything is necessarily going to keep going up in price. There's no way not to go up in price. Because if you allow that much money can be printed and put in by the Fed, or that much money can be borrowed by the government, then essentially what you have done is you have increased the amount of money that can still buy the same amount of products. It's going to drive the price up. There's no other way around it. And for you to own something today, like a car or a home, that's going to be hard to swing without debt. It's not impossible, but it's just hard to swing. And there are men on other broadcasts, other men who write books, other men who publish articles, and they show you and advise you on how to stay out of debt. And frankly, you ought to listen to something that they have to say, because a lot of that stuff that they have is good. They have some good advice for you on how to do that. You see, because once you go into debt, you are a servant to the lender, and you must abide by his rules. I mean, think about it. Whenever somebody goes for approval of credit to buy a car, goes for approval to buy a home, you know, goes for approval of credit to invest in a business, I mean, frankly now, really, how many of them ever think to look at the rules once the loan is approved? The hurdle you were trying to get over is the loan approval. And that's where you spent all of your time, and that's where you spent all of your effort, and that's where you did all of your work. Once the loan is approved, I doubt very seriously that 1 in 100 borrowers actually reads every detail of the contract. And that's because you're so happy just to get the money. But you know, you've got to remember there are rules in a contract like that, and you better know what those rules are, because you have to follow those rules or you have to pay the consequences. Now, I'm going to give you a very strange thing that happened probably about 20 years ago when the banking industry and the savings and loan industry went through a pretty good shakeup. President Reagan was the president at the time, He had announced that he was going to attack inflation. He did. Interest rates had been very high, 16%, 15%. He was going to attack inflation, bring the rates of interest down. He did that. But when he did, real estate, which had been a hedge to inflation, also went down in value, at least temporarily. And when it went down in value, it went down very quickly. And the banks were told that they had to write down, that may not be a term you're familiar with, but you get the concept, they had to write down the loan amount of every loan that was secured by real estate that had fallen in value. Give you an example. Let's say a guy borrowed $1 million from the bank to buy $1.5 million worth of real estate, but now the real estate is worth $750,000. Well, then they would have to write the value of the loan down $250,000 so that there was only $750,000 borrowed against the $750,000 of collateral, and then they had to write the loan down to maybe $650,000 because the bank had to have a position of equity. In other words, they couldn't loan 100% against the real estate. So in some cases, banks were writing down loans, you know, $250,000, $350,000 on a situation like I just described to you, but many of those loans were much, much larger. And so you got the picture here. By writing down these loans that were secured by real estate, suddenly the banks used up all of their capital. They were in a financial difficulty and had to find other banks that would buy them out of the trouble they were in. They had to consolidate the banks. Well, some banks didn't get consolidated. Some banks actually folded. And so the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, insured the depositors who had money on deposit in the banks up to $100,000. In other words, if you and your wife had $20,000 in a bank that went belly up, well, the FDIC would pay you $20,000. But if you had $150,000 in the bank, then they'd pay you $100,000 and you'd lose $50,000. Well, and again, what I'm about to tell you is a very unique situation, but it'll show you just how you got to know these rules and how the rules can have a very, very devastating effect on you. There was a fellow that borrowed $1,900,000 against $2 million of CDs. In other words, he secured his loan with $2 million of certificates of deposit and only borrowed $1,900,000. It was an absolute sure deal. In other words, 90 days later, if the fellow wasn't able to pay, the bank could simply cash in the CDs and pay off the $1,900,000 note. And after the interest had been paid, the fellow was going to end up with a little bit of cash. I mean, it was a great deal for the bank. Well, there's one part about this that they never thought about. And the part they never thought about was this. The FDIC only insures the certificate of deposit up to $100,000, and the bank went broke. So they gave the depositor $100,000. They applied that $100,000 to his $2 million note, and suddenly the man owed $1,900,000 to the bank unsecured. They took his $1,800,000 because that remainder of his CD was not insured. Now, that's a wild thing. That's a very strange set of circumstances, but you see what that amounts to is here's a fellow that did not know the rules well enough to know that that's the kind of thing that could happen to him. And in fact, that's exactly what happened to him, and he lost the $1,800,000. It's a terrible tragedy. Essentially, he lost $2 million. It lost $1,900,000 in the CD and still owed $1,800,000. So the net effect of it was about $3,600,000. Unbelievable. Today, there are lots of people in bankruptcy because the rule said it's time for you to pay. You didn't have the money to pay when the time was up, and therefore, the bank took the collateral. But once they took the collateral, you didn't have any way of making additional money, and now you're bankrupt. You had to go to bankruptcy just to seek protection from the creditor. That's a terrible situation to find yourself in, but that's happened. That's happened to Christians. That's happened to lost people. Those same afflictions that happened to you or happened to the people that are in the world. So what do we want to do today? Well, what we want to do is do this. We don't want to repeat what the other men have already told you. If you want good advice on ways to stay out of debt, there are men that are on the air that you can listen to. I mean, you can go to the bookstore and buy books on it. It's very simple. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the problem with debt and see why you get into it in the first place. Because if you can see from the Bible some ways to avoid debt in the first place, then you don't need all the other financial advice on how to get out of debt because you won't get into it in the first place. You see, these things are very, very important for you to follow. So debt can result from, we're going to look at six things. You'll think of some more on your own, but that's fine. That's what we want you to do, is we want you to think and consider and read the Bible and learn. Debt can result, first of all, from disobedience to God. Disobedience to God. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 15 at verse 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6, I realize what I'm about to show you is something that applies to the nation of Israel. However, it is also something that applies spiritually to you and me. All right? In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 6, the Lord told the Jews, "The Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee." God did not want the Jews in bondage to any national creditor. And he said, you're not going to have to, because I'm going to bless you so that you will be the lender, but you won't be the borrower. Okay? And then in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12, when God's actually going through a list of the various kinds of ways that he would bless the Jews, he said this, Deuteronomy 28, 12, "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Now, what you're seeing here is this. God blessed the Jews so they didn't have to borrow. And they started experiencing financial problems when they began to disobey God. If you read the history of the Jews, Rehoboam was attacked by Shishak, king of Egypt. And all the gold that had been accumulated in the house of the Lord was taken back to Egypt when he attacked. Rehoboam then made shields of brass to replace the shields of gold that had been stolen so that they still looked good, you know, when they were on display. And also, I mean, you know, they were partly there for a means of protection, at least for the guard, like the Secret Service. But you see, those financial problems started when they started disobeying God. If you read the rest of the history of Israel, you'll see that from time to time they had more and more problems like that, leading ultimately to the attack on Israel by the Assyrians and the attack on Judah by the Babylonians, and both of them ended up losing everything, essentially. All of it resulting from disobedience to God. You'll find in your own life that you'll have to start going into debt to make up for the slack when you disobey God. Please understand something. And that's why I said this in the introduction of the message. Not all debt is the result of disobedience to God, okay? That's why we're going to look at six things. And frankly, I've got friends of mine that have started churches in certain parts of the country where the price of a two-bedroom, one-bath house is $500,000. And there's no way in the world they're going to ever get up a building with a small congregation and a new congregation unless there is some debt involved, either owner financing or something like that. And that's not necessarily the result of disobedience to God. What I'm saying is when you find yourself in debt, many times, it's because God was blessing you up to a point and then God's blessing was withheld, and the next thing you knew, in order to make up what you had to do as far as the business is concerned or whatever, you had to start going into debt. Debt can result from disobedience to God. Debt can also result from lack of contentment. Now, this is very, very common. Lack of contentment, very common. Philippians chapter 4, Paul said something about his relationship to God. And you know that Paul was a great Christian. And you know that if God were going to take care of anybody, he would certainly take care of Paul. I mean, because Paul did unselfishly so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 12, Paul said, "I know." First of all, he says in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." So Paul said, look, in my own life, he said, I understand that there are times when the blessings of God are going to be so abundant on me, I'm going to be full. I'm going to abound. I'll have so much, I'll have more than I need for myself. I'll have something to give you. And he said, there are other times when I'm going to be hungry. I'll be abased. I won't have enough to feed myself, much less feed you. I'll know how to abound and I know how to suffer need. But he said, regardless, in verse 11, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And a lot of Christians lack contentment. They're not content with a small house. They're not content with an apartment. They're not content with an old car. They're not content not having a boat. They're not content, period. They got to borrow money to take a vacation because they're not content. They got to borrow money to buy another car because they're not content with the one that runs but is old. They're not content to have a friend that has a boat but not own a boat themselves, and so they go into debt to buy a boat. They're not content with the small house in which they live, and so they go into debt to buy a big house. Lack of contentment. Not willing to live within the means in which God has you. That's a real problem. Now, when you read through the Bible, you'll find out that, you know, this prosperity preacher that goes on today is going to result in some real problems here down the road, because there are people who are going to expect that God is to bless them up to a certain level, forgetting that the greatest apostle that ever lived many times below poverty level. And like Jesus Christ, whom the Bible says was poor so that you might be rich, you're not content to live like Jesus Christ. And I'm saying, what's wrong with this picture? If God loves his son so much that he's his only begotten son, and Jesus Christ loved his father so much that he always did those things that pleased him, and he died with 5 garments that were stolen from him the day that he was crucified, I'm saying, why do you think that you deserve all these wonderful possessions in order to think that by having those possessions you're going to find contentment? I'll assure you something. Once you go into debt to have all that, you will not be content. You'll be troubled. Oh, yeah, you'll like it for a little while. I mean, one of the greatest things in the world to do whenever you want to buy an asset, like a workout machine, you know, one of these ellipticals, or when you want to buy a piece of Nautilus equipment, or you want to buy a boat, or you want to buy a fancy car, go to the classifieds and just wait till there's a divorce, lack of contentment. Just wait till there's a bankruptcy, the guy just can't afford to keep it anymore. Just wait till the guy finds any kind of a financial difficulty. He'll sell that thing for half of what it's worth in order to get out from underneath the financial burden. He'll be so relieved just to pay off his debt and be done with it, he'll never want to see another one of those things again. Lack of contentment. Not willing to live within the means in which God has you. All right, here's another reason that you can get into debt. Debt can result not only from disobedience to God, lack of contentment, but also improper priorities. Look at Matthew chapter 6. If your priorities are right, God's going to take care of you. I mean, if you're going to believe what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Bible says, Matthew 6:24. We'll read quite a bit here, but bear with me. No man can serve two masters, that is, the banker and the Lord, for instance. No man can serve two masters, that is, the dollar and the Lord, for instance. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Boy, that's the truth. If you go down the street, what you're going to see is you're going to see eateries, restaurants, places to get drinks, convenience stores, and you're going to see clothing stores. And that's where so much money was made the day after Thanksgiving. Why? Because after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows that you need to eat. He knows that you need to drink, and he knows that you need to have some clothes. So he says this in verse 33. This is the main thing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, I read those verses years and years ago when I entered the ministry, and I wondered how in the world I was going to have something to eat because, I mean, I wasn't used to it. And I stepped outside late in the afternoon, walking down the street, out in front of my house, around the block, taking the long walk that I usually took in the afternoons, and I looked up, and I noticed that there were all kinds of birds coming in from the fields where they've been eating all day. And I remembered this verse where he said that the sparrows, see, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? I saw all these fowls of the air coming back in that God had fed that day. And I thought to myself, you know something? And God cares more for his children than he does for the fowls of the air. I thought about this. I said, you know something? As long as I can look up in the afternoon and see those birds flying out of the fields and into the roost, I'll know that God will provide another meal for us. And that was 20 years ago, let's say 18 years ago, and to this day, God has been faithful to make that provision every single day of those 18 years. So what happens is when a man has to go into debt, his priorities have gotten fouled up. That may be, I'm giving you six reasons, that may be the reason. You're seeking something other than his kingdom first, something other than his righteousness first. And when that happens, then you may find yourself all suddenly having to borrow money in order to pay for the things you are seeking. So debt can result from disobedience to God. Debt can result from lack of contentment. Debt can result from improper priorities. Debt can result from lust. I mean, you'll start asking God for that Mercedes and asking God for that Mercedes, and God doesn't provide that Mercedes, so you go down there and talk to the Mercedes dealer about it, and he agrees to loan you the money to buy it, and you say, well, bless God, he gave me the Mercedes. Well, you'll find out whether he gave you that Mercedes or not after a month or two of owning it. If you don't pay for it on the monthly basis, it won't be God that gave it to you. You can be sure of that, because the man who did will be back to pick up his vehicle. James chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Verse 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. In other words, you're trying to buy something God doesn't want you to have. So you got to borrow money to get it. I was talking to my daughter the other day, and she's working now and out of school, and she was talking about the difference between renting and home ownership, and she had this plan, or at least she was thinking about this plan, that involved buying a home and then having a couple of her former classmates rent rooms from her because they wanted to, and then she'd be able to, you know, live there for a net cost of a very small amount of money. And I said, yeah, but there's some things that you need to put into the equation you're not thinking about. Taxes, insurance, those are big. Repairs and maintenance, those numbers can be huge. So when you start adding all that kind of thing in there and then start looking at it, it's a different calculation, a completely different calculation, a very sobering calculation. A lot of times when people want to buy a house, they start looking into those things. They think, well, I can make the payment, but don't realize there's also a roof. There's also a hot water heater that has to be replaced from time to time. Grass that has to be mowed. Fences that have to be repaired. Glass that breaks. Paint that has to be applied. And lots of other kinds of things that come up with home ownership. And not that she was looking into this out of lust, but the point was, very simply, that whenever you look into buying something and making payments, you've also got to remember there's a lot more to that ownership. And a lot of times when a man is lusting after a thing that he wants to buy on credit, he doesn't consider all those other costs. Now listen, we're getting ready to go into this time of year that people generally buy things and exchange gifts with each other. Listen, if you have to go into debt to do any of that, then consider that you're just following after your lust. Those many, many things that are exchanged at this time of year are not necessities. They are simply desires. They are wants. And you got to be careful about lust. All right, another one. I didn't realize I'm just burning the time here, but another one is lack of charity. lack of charity. In Philippians chapter 4, when you quote the verse that says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus," which is Philippians 4:19, that promise to meet your needs is granted to a church that is a giving church, a charitable church. And frankly, when you want to find out about how God takes care of people that take care of his work, you've got to read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Okay? You know all those. But watch the next verse. Verse 8, the Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." In other words, when a man's a cheerful giver, God makes sure that he has everything that he needs, not only for the abundance of the work that he does, but also so he can continue to give like he does. Just the way it goes. So it could be that your debt has resulted from a lack of charity. And then finally, debt can result from a lack of trust. A lack of trust. Psalm chapter 37, verse 3. Psalm 37:3. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." You know what happens a lot of times? People get into a debt because they're not trusting in, they're not delighting in, and they're not committing their ways to God Almighty. And so that lack of trust results in debt. Now the question I want to ask you is simply this: would you rather be a servant to God and live with what he wants you to have, or be a servant to the lender and live with the rules he imposes? I'd always rather be a servant to God. Remember then, if you're going into debt, to evaluate these six things. Is it disobedience to God? A lack of contentment? Improper priorities? Lust? A lack of charity? Or a lack of trust? If it is, fix the problem and stay out of debt.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.